So my goal is to continue with this study of Hilchus Chanukah until after Chanukah. Until after Chanukah. And then we'll see where we go from there. I would like to study Hilchus Megillah and the Sugyas of Megillah, selected Sugyas, after Chanukah. I don't know whether that'll take us a month or 2 months, whatever it was, and then we'll go on to Pesach. Now, the main sugya of Chanukah, I think we could say, is the question of Kavsa Zakuk La or Kavsa Ein Zakuk La. And this comes up over and over again. So we'll dedicate perhaps the entire shiur, or at least the bulk of the shiur today, to this concept called Kavsa Zakuk La, Kavsa Ein Zakuk La. The Gemara says at the beginning of the sugya of Chanukah, if you have it on Daf Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph on the bottom, the Gemara says in the name of Rav Huna that we don't want to use inferior oils and wicks. Silos u'shmanin shomu chachom ein madlikim b'Shabbos ein madlikim b'Chanukah. And the reason for that is Amar Rava, my time with Rav Huna kasover kavsa zakukla. That's on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. You see it? Kavsa zakukla. So Rabbo said, what we want to do is we want to figure out what exactly is this Kavsa Zakuk La and try to figure out why Rav, which is on the top of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, we didn't get to that yet, he's going to reject this principle. He's going to hold Kavsa Ein Zakuk La. Now, if we take Kavsa Zakuk La at a very simple level, just translating it literally, it means that if it goes out, you have to rekindle it. Rashi is going to send us flying here in another direction. And Rashi suggests a very complicated approach to what this Kavsa Zakuk La means. And he's basically assuming that Kavsa doesn't mean what we think it means. It doesn't mean that it went out. It didn't go out. It's still alive. It's what I call a ghost. It's on its way out. It's hanging on for dear life. Maybe it's a little dark, it's dim, but it's still lit. And I can tell you myself, I don't know if you could identify with this, I've had this experience many, many times. You know, you buy these, they have these prepackaged deals, and, you know, the wick just barely grabs onto the fire, and it's still alive, you know, but it's not healthy, it's not, it doesn't have stability. So the question is, says Rashi, how are you going to relate to this nair? Now, I would have approached this, you know, this nair that's on its way out from a universal halachic perspective, and I would have asked questions about statistics and how long is it going to last. After all, we only have to have it last for a half hour, the Gemara says, Mishatishka Chama Shatikla Regal Menashuk. And even if this is not the best wick and it's not the best oil, maybe it would last for a full half hour. But the problem is that even though statistically you may assume that it will last for a half hour, we're dealing with a different issue here. We're not dealing with a given. You know, there's your nair, and how does the halacha treat it? Am I allowed to say, well, I knew when I lit it it's going to last, and I assumed it's going to last for the half hour? We're dealing with a different kind of a question, and that is, how did the Chachamim organize the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Now, up front, what kind of Shmonim and Psilos would they accept for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? And according to Rav Huna, they were very picky and very selective about which Neros, which Shmonim and Psilos would qualify for this mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, because they want to guarantee that this mitzvah will be fulfilled. Right, that proper time, which is a half hour. So that once you're already in this realm of, you know, the second-rate oils, you're already concerned about whether it's going to last a half hour. So even if I would tell you that I'll be Rov, you know, if I use the universal principles of Rov, I can tell you that Ruba de Ruba, you know, in 90% of the cases it will last for a half hour, but we want to know about the 10 cases, 10% chance that it won't last for a half hour. So here's where Kavsa Zakuk La comes into play. Kavsa Zakuk La doesn't mean says Rashi, that the nair went out. Let's read Rashi. Rashi says the following. Zakikla, this is about five lines. One, two, three, four. Five lines before the end of the Amud. Rashi says, Litakna. You've got to fix it up. You know, if I would give you a vision of what I imagine Rashi has in mind, is imagine the case of a mother bird who has little fledglings in the nest, and the mother bird has to hover over the nest and make sure that that these little fledglings are being cared for, being tended to. You know, she'll bring worms or whatever they eat, you know, to feed them. So Rashi says litakna. Litakna means that things are not going 100% as we hoped they would, and therefore they need supervision. The candle needs supervision. Why does the candle need supervision? So Rashi says, Hilchah tzorach lechatchila lasos yofeh dilma posha v'lo metaken lo. In envisioning the following, the candle is in a precarious situation. We had hoped that despite the fact that it's a second-rate oil, 90% of the chances that it will last, but we see now indications that maybe this oil, in this particular scenario, fits into the 10% chance. And we want the candle to last for a full half hour. So we're already in a situation where we're nervous about the candle. Now, there are two possibilities. One possibility is to say, let's rely on the madlik. You know, he's a good guy. He wants to fulfill the mitzvah. He'll oversee the candle. Then we have to talk about a different scenario. Maybe he's pressured. He's willing to give 5 minutes to the mitzvah. He's not willing to give 35 minutes to the mitzvah. So he'll spend 5 minutes preparing the nair, or maybe he'll ask his wife to do that, and then he'll light the nair, but he's pressured for time. He's going to fly the coop. So Rashi says if he's not going to be there to watch over the nair, then he won't be mataki the nair. And that nair now begins to fit into the 10% chance that maybe it'll go out. So in other words, there's what I call time T1, time T2, and time T3. Time T1, he lights the nair. At time T2, he already begins to have what I call a reyusa. He's already got reason to doubt the stability and the long shelf life of this nair, because it's already needs tikkun. And what's he going to do at time T3? When he becomes aware of the fact that the candle needs tikkun, he has two choices. He either pack his bags and go to work or wherever he has to take care of. Maybe he's going to eat his sufganiyot, I don't know what he's doing. Or he's going to make that extra effort and supervise the nair to be metaken the nair. And Rashi says, we're not going to rely on him. Dilma Pasha. Now perhaps the Dilma Pasha is based on the fact that when the Chachamim organize and orchestrate this mitzvah and set up the requirements of how to fulfill this mitzvah, they realize that this is a very important mitzvah. It's Chavivus HaNes. And we want to guarantee that the person is going to fulfill the mitzvah in two different ways. Number one, in lighting the candle, and number two, in overseeing the candle. And if we have reason to doubt that he'll follow through, and not only will he light the candle, but he'll oversee the candle to make sure that if the candle, after he lights it, is wobbly, it's not reliable, that he'll fix it up. If we can't rely on him, then we have a chashash of Dilma Pasha. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says, Dilma Pasha v'lo metaken lo. So if I hold Kavsa Zogik lo, then what I'm saying is, I'm not afraid of the fact that this candle is going to go out within a half hour. No, there's no reason to assume that because of the nature of the oil and the wick, it's going to go out in a half hour. But rather, what we're afraid of is that he will see that the nair is not reliable in this case. In other words, it belongs to the, let's say, to the 10% minority or the 20% minority that are not going to last as long as we want it to last. Ashen Tichler Engelman Ashur. And instead of fulfilling his responsibility, again, according to the Man Yomer Kofsa Zokakla, that he has to oversee the nair, he's gonna check out. And that's called in Rashi's language, Dilma Poshal. Now, again, you and I might say, well, statistically, maybe most people in such a situation would be careful about the nair. They're not going to AWOL, you know, they're not going to just leave the Nair on its own. But nevertheless, there's a certain percentage of the population, they can't live up to this level of a double responsibility, not only responsibility to light the candle, but also to oversee the candle and guarantee that it'll last if they see that it's not a healthy candle. So, wait, just give me, again, I'm still trying to just figure out my ideas here, because what I'm trying to do is, if you take a look in the Gvuras Yitzchak, he writes on page Dalet. Does everybody have page Dalet? I just want to pull out for a moment one line from page Dalet, and there's a lot of ink on this page. But he says the following on page Dalet, about 10 lines down. Do you see the words velo? So about 10 lines down, maybe it's a less than 10 lines, it says, V'lo havi rak chashosh of the alma shema yichbeh. Now, who revealed such a secret to the Gvuras Yitzchak? Meaning, when I see the sugya about kovsa, what I think is that we have to really be afraid of the candle going out. And maybe the percentages here are not 10% or 20%, but maybe in the case of the inferior wicks and inferior oils, it's a 50% or a 30%. Maybe it's enough of a chashash. He says, no, it's only a chashash of the alma. How does he know such a thing?
Well, I would ask you, in a similar vein, to be choshish, that we have to be choshish for a miyut of a miyut. Because number one, most of the candles will last. So now we're familiar. And of those that don't, most of the people will fix them. So it's now to a meat of a meat. So
I'm not sure if most of the people will fix them or half of the people will fix them. That I don't know. But what I do know is that the thrust of Kavsa, Zakuk Law, is to say that the way the Chachamim want to organize this mitzvah in order to achieve their goal of, I call it Chavimus HaMitzvah, maybe you want to call it Pirsimanes, whatever you want to call it, to guarantee that we can sleep. We can sleep calmly at night and know that this Nair is going to last for the full half hour. The Chacham are going to say, let's not rely on him, whoever the him is, whether he belongs to 50%, to 90%, to 10%, I'm not sure. But let's not rely on that segment of the population that will definitely oversee the Nair in the case of an inferior light. Let's be Choshesh, again using his word, that maybe he will Dilma Pashale. That maybe he won't be able to, he won't be willing, or he won't be eager, if we'll say that, to take upon himself this entire enterprise of not only lighting the candle, but overseeing the candle to make sure that it doesn't go out. That's already too much to ask of him. How do we avoid such a situation? How do we guarantee? In other words, we're in a shnei ksuvim malachishim, said. So we're really in a paradoxical situation, because on the one hand we want to guarantee that this Nair will last the whole half hour. On the other hand, we realize that at least some percentage, whatever it might be, of the population is not going to be willing, in the case of an inferior oil, to do what he has to do to guarantee that it'll last for that whole half hour. Namely, that segment or sector of the population is not willing to stand over the Nair like a mother bird who hovers over our fledglings and supervise the Nair to be mataken it, because of all the pressures of life they just may, as we said before, check out. That's all based on the principle called Kavsa Zakikla. Kavsa Zakikla means that the way that Chazal organized this mitzvah from the get-go is to guarantee, again, you can never guarantee. Like a wind could come by and blow out your Nair, you know, so that we can't necessarily protect from. And not only that, you remember that there was a shita that held that if you don't rekindle the same Nair, let's say the wind blew the whole kit and caboodle out, the Beis HaLevi's of the opinion that it's pointless to light a second Nair, never chayiv yushnei pa'avim, right? So we can't avoid every foreseeable scenario. But what we could do is, if the mitzvah, we'll call it Ner Dolok, right? If the mitzvah is not only to do the Maisa Hadlaka, but in order to achieve a Ner Dolok so that it lasts for a full half hour, we want to really jack up the percentages of success to cannot guarantee success, let's call it 99%, then what we're going to do is we're going to have to impose upon him a responsibility, in the case of these inferior Neros, to stand and hover over the Ner. And that's not going to do it, because we're afraid that that's going to be too much. People are not going to be willing to live up to that demand.
Yeah.
But again,
they're putting it out.
Well, I hope you wouldn't deliberately put it out, because by the way, the poskim say that even if you hold kavsa ain zakukla, if you deliberately put it out, then we hold kavsa zakukla. Unless you do it by accident, like if you're trying to fix the nair and it goes out, that's one thing. But if you do it b'mezid with a human deliberate intention, then everybody holds kavsa zakukla within the half hour, I'm saying. You know.
Can we talk about that for a moment?
Hold on for a few minutes. I'll tell you what question. Halacha l'maisa. It seems from the Shulchan Aruch that that is the din, because Shulchan Aruch only says you don't have to rekindle the light if you put it out to show it.
That's the recommendation. If you light it
So do me a favor, Rabbi. Just because I'm trying to take a look in the Mechaber. I think it's
that,
here, right?
I know what it says, but I'm saying halacha l'maisa.
I don't know what it says, so you have to do it for my sake, you know. But I'm pretty sure it says shogeg. Anyway, Rabbosai, listen carefully. Where does this whole concept that even in the inferior quality oils, we don't really have to worry about kibui? It's only when the reisa's there, as I said, and then this whole process of the nair is on its downslope, you know, that begins, and now we're getting very concerned, because who's going to be the tzaddik who will live up to that responsibility and guarantee that the nair will remain for a half hour? Where does he get that from? Meaning, if I want to be the antagonist here, and I want to question his philosophical assumptions here, I might say no, that kofsa zokakla in the case of these inferior naros means that there's a very, very serious, heavy statistical probability that it'll go out. And based on the laws of Rove and Mead, we don't want to rely on these naros. So let's see where he's coming from. He has a kasha from the Prima Gadim. And this kasha from the Prima Gadim appears over and over again throughout this Sefer on Hilchas Chanukah called Gvuras Yitzchak. And it shows up in different forms. In this form, it shows up here, again, for anyone here who happens to have page Beis, okay, if you don't have page Beis, don't worry, it's only one line, don't get nervous. But on one line in page Beis, he quotes the Prima Gadim. And the Prima Gadim has a Rashi and a Rambam, which the Prima Gadim says, I can't understand. Again, if it was only Rashi, fine. If it was only the Rambam, fine. But it's both Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi and the Rambam address the following question. The Mishnah at the beginning of this Perek that we're learning, Perek B'mem Adlikin, disqualifies these inferior oils and wicks for Ner Shabbos. Now, let's see if we could all be on board and give me the same answer to my question. I want to see if we could all answer the question in the same way. Before we get to Rashi and the Rambam, just to appreciate why the Prima Gadim has no clue as to what Rashi and the Rambam are talking about. What would have been your answer to the question why these inferior oils were excluded for Ner Shabbos? Like Shemen Shel Shum Shemin. Why was it excluded for Ner Shabbos?
It might go out.
Correct. And Dr. Joel, what would be your impetus to say that as far as Ner Shabbos, because for sure we need a Ner Doluk.
Because it's only for the
Onik Shabbos, Shalom Bayis, but the whole kit and caboodle. Comes along Rashi, and this you'll see Rashi says it on Daf Chaf Aleph, I think it is. Let me just see if I'll find it for you. Oh, the Gemara says about Shemen Shum Shemen She'eno Nimshach. In other words, somehow the oil itself does not draw towards the wick. Rashi says the Osi Lahatos. What does Rashi mean by Lahatos?
I'm trying to fix it myself.
Exactly. Rashi's talking about a Shvus of Shemayata. The Rambam in Hilchas Shabbos says the same thing. He repeats the same story. The Rambam is in Perek Hey Halacha Ches, and the Rambam, in a very rare kind of move, asks himself a question and gives him an answer, like it's Derech She'elo Tshuva, Perek Hey Halacha Ches. And the Rambam, after listing all the oils and wicks that are disqualified for Ner Shabbos, the Rambam asks himself, very pedagogical. The Rambam says, V'lo b'shvanim she'enim nimshach macha psilo. Zoktanamam gzeiro shem ye'or aner ofel v'yata oso b'shosh yishtamish li'o. Now, the truth is that I want to admit my ignorance here. I thought that this was engraved in stone. Like, I thought this was a Gemara Mefureshes. And the Gemara is going to tell me that all these oils that are listed at the beginning of Perek Pamei Badlika that are disqualified are all disqualified because of Shema Yata. Like, to me, that was one of the Yud Gimel Ikri Adas. And yet Rashi says, Einom Nimshachim. Yeah, the Gemara says Einom Nimshachim. But therefore what? Rashi says Shema Yata. The whole business is a gzera because of Hatoya. So the Prima Gadim found a Ravan. The Ravan was one of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, one of the Balei HaTosfos. And the Ravan says, and I quote to you, Hodi Amrita B'Shava She'ein Madlika Behem. And now if you have page Gimel, which I did give out, I think. Did I give out page Gimel? Oh, so on the top of page Gimel. Says the Ravan, Lav Mishum Shema Yata. The reason why Chazal disqualified all these oils is not because of Shema Yata, El Shema Yechava, V'leka Sholabayis. Frek the Prima Godim, why weren't Rashi and the Rambam smart enough to figure this out? Why did Rashi and the Rambam have to introduce Shema Yata? Again, it could be that Shema Yata, the Prima Godim admits, might come into play over here. But that's not the reason of Ein Madlikim Bahem. Ein Madlikim Bahem is because these are Shmonim Psulim. Because they won't last very long. And Shema Yechave.
Yichbeh, not
Yechave. Yichbeh. I'm not very good at the digdukah, but Yichbeh means it might go out. How do you say that? Yichbeh? Okay, Yechave is more the active intervention. Yeah. Shema Yichbeh. So I'm both saying, from now until doomsday, if I say Shema Yechave, it means Shema Yichbeh. Okay? And I'm going on the record, because I'm not going to remember this. Okay? That's called in the Gemara's language, Shaveshta Hovi All. That once you get a mistake, you'll never get rid of it. Okay? So Shema Yichbeh. Oh. Comes along the Ravan and he says, if you're asking me why we disqualify these candles, these oils, the answer is Shema Yichbeh. In fact, take a look at Ner Chanukah. We're going to, according to Rav Huda, we're going to disqualify the same oils for Ner Chanukah because Shema Yichbeh, or in the Gemara's language, Kovsa Zakukla, right? Because we're going now, according to Rav Huda, the Kovsa Zakukla. And we're afraid he won't rekindle it, etc., etc. Comes along the Prima Godim, he says, I don't understand Rashi and the Rambam. The Rashi and the Rambam are trying to answer the question why the Chazal disqualified these oils, and they have to come up with Shema Yata. Forget about Shema Yata. Look, it could be that at some point down the line, you know, we'll introduce Shema Yata. But if you're asking the fundamental question as to why these oils and wicks were disqualified in their Shabbos, it's because of Kivui, of course, of Shema Yechbeh, right? And the Ravan is right. To such an extent that the Prima Gadol leaves this as an open-ended question on Rashi and the Rambam. Which again might lead us to the conclusion of the Gevuras Yitzchak that the whole business about inferior quality oils that'll go out is all a chashosha b'alma. Okay, wait a minute. Let's go slow. Even if you call it a chashosh of the alma, I tried to call it a 10%, 20%, he doesn't go into that whole discussion. But nevertheless, on Chanukah, we're very concerned about this. Why shouldn't we be concerned about this on Shabbos as well? In other words, in a word, what happened to Shema Yichbeh, which passes the Shemonim, according to Rav Huna, for Chanukah, and yet when we get to Shabbos, Gazrinon Shema Yat. And there's no breath of whisper about Shema Yechave. So again, at this point, you know, you might say, well, Chazal are more careful about Ner Chanukah, maybe Ner Chanukah is Chavivus HaNes, etc., etc. Ner Shabbos, okay, so you'll sit in the dark, you know, Mishkefel. But that's, you know, like Yesh Yashiv Bedochak. That doesn't really satisfy the intellectual curiosity of the mind to say that on Shabbos we're not worried about Shema Yichbeh because he can sit in the dark. In fact, the Gemara tells us later on in Chof Gimel that if you have only enough prutos to buy either an Er Chanukah for Pirsim HaNes or an Er Shabbos for Shalom Bayis, which comes first? Ner Shabbos Bishum Shalom Bayis. So to say that we should be more lenient in the Ner Shabbos and not worry about the possibility of Shema Yichbeh, whereas in Chanukah we were worried about Shema Yichbeh, and therefore we're going to pass the Lishmonim, doesn't make any sense. So again, the gaping hole here is not why we... Again, keep in mind, Rabbi, so we're not asking a question about the halachic status of these neros on Shabbos. These neros are possible on Shabbos. We're only asking why they're possible. What forced, what compelled Rashi and the Rambam to introduce the element of Shema Yateh? Why not just say like the Ravan says, it's simple because of Shalom Bayis Shema Yichbeh? That's the question of Prima God.
What happens first? Before it goes out, it gets weak. And Rashi and Rambam were saying that the reason is because what would be the normal thing you do? When it starts to get weak, I'd already deal with it because I need the light because it's a mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. Chanukah, I don't need the light because it's also Shabbos. I wouldn't try to fix it.
Wait a second. Let's go slowly. When I heard the first part of what you said, I thought I understood what you were saying, and but then you went off a little bit differently. So say it again from the beginning.
I said that with regard to Shabbos, Rashi and the Rambam were dealing with what is the actual situation that one would face. So one would face a candle that goes weak first, that can be fixed before it goes out.
Where's the Chanukah?
Well, Chanukah, but he wants it to stay lit because of Onik Shabbos. If he will try.
You mean in Chanukah has less of a motivation?
Less of a motive to try to fix it because it's.
You're saying because it's only a mitzvah to drop.
First of all, Allah
says it's only a mitzvah to drop.
Because also Shabbos. The reason I'm fixing it is because I want the light. But I don't need the light for that same purpose.
I mean, you have to be like on a spiritual level to want the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, where Shabbos, even physically, I want to have the light. You're saying
I need to, because that's the whole purpose of it. So.
You see, it's interesting because the Ramban and that's why I thought you were introducing the Ramban. The Ramban throws in another element to the equation. He says the following: you know, in Ner Chanukah, you could have two opinions. You know, kofsa zakeklo, kofsa ein zakeklo. But in Ner Shabbos, says the Ramban, you have to assume kofsa ein zakeklo. Why? Because it's Shabbos. You know. Now again, he's envisioning the following scenario, that he lights the Ner right before Shkia, let's say. Or, you know, you'll work out all the various scenarios, but in such a period of time that he won't be able to fix the Ner. So let's say, for example, he lights the Ner at 7 p.m. He's going to eat his Suda Shabbos at 8 p.m. During that hour, if this light goes out, right, he doesn't have the option and the possibility of fixing the Ner or rekindling the Ner if it goes out, right? Or fixing it if it's on its way out. Now wait a second. Is that a reason not to be worried about Shema Yichbeh, or to be more concerned with Shema Yichbeh with the Kal Vachomer? Do you follow and say? The Ramban is saying something, again, at this point I'm going to use the word counterintuitive. It's paradoxical. I would have said the following. If you hold Kavsa, Zokik Law, which means that we're not sure that you're going to be able to successfully achieve your goal with these inferior oils of keeping the Nair going for half hour, but you do have the option of Zokik Law, maybe we're not going to rely on you because, as Rashi says, Dilma Pasha, but at least Chach, it's an option. How much more so should we worry about Shem Yechabeh in the case of Shabbos, where he doesn't even have an option of fixing the Ner? So the Ramban is very strange. Let's read the Ramban's language inside. And this you'll find, just one second, on what page? Just one second, I thought I knew what page it's on. Oh, give me a second here. Does anybody see the Ramban? Where is the Ramban?
There's a Ramban on page
Ches. No. We're on Gimel.
I said page A. Oh, still
on. We're either on Gimel or maybe Dalid, which is just one second. Okay, I knew I was going to...
Page A, I think you have it.
So it's on page A, you say?
On page A, there's a Ramban.
Oh, okay, good. Page A. That sounds good. Page A. Okay, just one second on page A. I just want to make sure I don't skip anything. So I'm going to take a minute of my time just to...
It's going before this.
Oh. Now, I'm not sure. Did you say hey or ches? I forget. Sometimes a hey sounds like a ches.
It looks like ches, but it's hey.
On page hey, I meant.
But there's also $1 with this.
Okay, excellent. Okay, so now let's go on page dal, because page hey is going to ask a cash on the Ramban, but the actual quote of the Ramban is on page dal. Okay. Now, what leads into this Ramban? He believes that the Ramban is going to answer our question as to why Rashi and the Rambam omit Shema Yichbe. Did I get that right? Shema Yichbe in the case of Ner Shab, of the Shmonim in Ner Shab, Shmonim Psul. But before that, he offers a very interesting approach based on the Rambam as to why we're not worried about Shema Yichbe with regard to Ner Shabbos. Fascinating approach. And he says the following. You know why the Rambam is not worried about Shema Yichbe? Because the Rambam has Ner Shabbos in two places. In Perek Hei and in Perek Lamed. In Perek Hei, the Rambam has it with regard to Onik Shabbos. But in Perek Lamed, he has it with regard to what?
Kivut Shabbos.
Kivut Shabbos. Excellent. The difference being that with regard to Onik Shabbos, what I need is a Ner Dolk. If the Ner is going to go out and I can't eat my Seuda to the Ner, I'm in trouble. And then the Mitzvah is futile. But with regard to Kovet Shabbos, the Rambam says that the Mitzvah of Kovet Shabbos takes place and is fulfilled when? On Erev Shabbos. So the Zman for Kovet Shabbos is Erev Shabbos. So that means when I enter into Shabbos, let's say again in that scenario that I gave you before, that I light my Ner Shabbos immediately before Shabbos, like right before Shkir. Just to give you a saber to Ozen, right? So if the candle will last, at least for that minute, you know, entering into Shabbos, then I have fulfilled the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. And why is that? Because I have received the Shabbos. I go out to receive the Shabbos. I have to set up my shulchan. The Rambam's language is a little bit strange, if you recall. The Rambam says, Ner don't. We weren't sure about that. But he's not sensitive to that issue. He's saying that the whole list that the Rambam enumerates in Perek Lamed of all the actions you have to do on Erev Shabbos, including lighting an Ner Chanukah, that's how he read that, excuse me, Ner Shabbos, that means that you have to receive the Shabbos with Ksus Nekiah, and with a Shulchan Aruch, and with a Ner Dolok, you know, all this you've set up in that period of time right before Shabbos enters. So for example, let's say I set up my table right before Shabbos, and then, again, he doesn't discuss this, but I'm just, and then my grandson comes along, he's a little tot, and he messes up the table. You know, nobody could imagine such a thing, but it could happen, right? Now, would I have to reset the table? Well, maybe yes, but no. Why no? Because I already fulfilled the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. So as far as the Ner is concerned, we don't have to be concerned, according to the Rambam, with Shema Yichbe, because even if Shema Yichbe forfeits the mitzvah of what? Onik Shabbos, but it doesn't forfeit the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. So what we do is we get at least a Kiyum HaMitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. In the case of Ner Chanukah, wait a second, I'll be right with you, Rabbi, let me just finish. In the case of Ner Chanukah, what are you left with? If your old Kovsa Zokakla, and he doesn't take care of it, it goes out, etc., etc., or it's about to go out, the way Rashi formulates it, then you're left with nothing. You're left without a mitzvah. So the bracha basically is a bracha latolam. Masha'en came in the case of Shabbos, you still gain at least the mitzvah of what? Of kibbutz. So he says the following. If you have page Dalet, take a look on the bottom right column. He says, "Ulefi zeosi shaper hadakosu Rashi ve'arambam." Okay, just one second. Let's go back to the end of the previous paragraph. He says, "Ulefi amavur nira." It's about 10 lines up before the paragraph. Ulefi ze on the right side. You have it. Tevad lokas ner shavis ba'anach psilus u'shmona mishum chashosha de'shem yichbe. Afal gav de lo yotza yidei chovas had loka mishum onik Shabbos shemitzvasa v'meshet doluk v'shabbos atzma mikomakom In any event, Chodesh, he fulfills Yotzei Chovas Hadlaka Mishum Kovet Shabbos, correct? That's what we have. Kevan Shamitzvah Be'etzem Mais Hadlaka. This is fascinating. He wants to know what happens if you have a Ner Shabbos that was not lit before Shabbos. It was lit way, way earlier. So the Ramah Paskins, you have to put it out and rekindle it. So the Gvuras Ari, the Gvuras Yitzchak asks the following question. He says, I don't get it. Who cares if it was lit on Tu Bishvat? As long as it's lit for the Ner Shabbos, meaning I'll have it for my own Shabbos, what's this point of putting it out and lighting it again? The Ramah says that if you lit this candle, let's say at 12 noon on Friday, and it comes now, let's say Shabbos is entering at 4, so now you've got to put it out and rekindle it. Like, what's that all about? As far as Ner Doluk is concerned, he has a Ner Doluk. As far as Onik Shabbos, he has Onik Shabbos. He's not going to trip and fall, there's no problem. Oh, the answer is that there's another dimension of Ner Shabbos, namely what? Kavod Shabbos, and Kavod Shabbos means to do the act of Adlocha, the Mais Adlocha. So he says the following, with regard to these inferior candles, even if in the worst case scenario goes out, right, but again, you have to bridge Kabbalah Shabbos, right? You're saying, so he lit it right before Shkia. He says, Mikomakom, Afagad, Dolo Yotzi, Dechovas, Onik Shabbos, nevertheless, Yotzi Dechovas Adlok Mishum Kovet Shabbos, Kamitri Be'etz and Maisa Adloka, with Kovet Shabbos, and King Kavan Davi Adloka, She Yochol Lidlok B'Shabbos. Oh, so now we go back to the first principle. Remember what the first principle was, that even with regard to these inferior Neros, it's only a Chashasha that'll go out. Right? Because again, otherwise, if it was a very serious percentage, and the halacha would consider that statistically considered like a rov or a mir hanika or whatever it might be, then even on Shabbos we'd have to exclude these candles because they're not going to last. The answer is only chashash of the alam. Oh, so what do we do in this case of a chashash of the alam? Herein lies the difference between Ner Chanukah and Ner Shabbos. In Ner Chanukah, based on this chashash, what's at stake here? What's on in? In the balance, is this such a phrase? What's in the balance is whether he'll get the mitzvah or he'll get zero of the mitzvah. In the case of Shabbos, you're worried about the possibility that he'll go out, but then he'll forfeit what? Only Shabbos, but he still gets Kavod Shabbos because of the Maisad Lok. That's why the Rambam did not introduce Sheva Yichbeh. Why? Because the Sheva Yichbeh doesn't bother the Rambam. That wouldn't justify excluding these shmonim. You know, I'm thinking in my mind, maybe there's a sociological factor over here. You know, Chazal weren't excited about excluding cheap. You know, we have the whole sugi about someone who can't even afford two candles. You know what I'm saying? So maybe Chazal had a certain impetus or motivation. You know, Rachmana has to say there, Rachmana, Chos Rachmana al Mamonu Shal Yisrael, not to possible these. So you're going to tell me because my chashash will possible that? It depends. If the entire enterprise is in the balance, and we want to get Ner Chanukah, you know, to make sure that you, then we'll be worried, according to Rav Huna, about this whole Shema Yichbeh with Rashi's Dilma Pashima, the whole 9 yards. But if you talk about Shabbos, we're in the worst case scenario because of your Kashoshi, your worst fears came to reality. How do we say it?
Came to fruition
and it went out. So it doesn't mean that the whole enterprise is lost. Your bracha is meaningful and you fulfill the bits of Kavod Shabbos. Yeah.
I don't like this whole approach.
I love it.
I think on two accounts. First of all, the kibud and the omer. The kibud is a maaseh mitzvah, and the kiyum is not in the kibud. The kiyum is in the omer.
Ah.
The kiyum is the onik. So
the kiyum is in the onik.
That's right. I would really prefer to light on Shabbos, but I can't. So I have to do it beforehand. The kiyum is an onik Shabbos.
Rabbi, I disagree with you if it's okay. You know, you don't mind. You won't be insulted. It's not so. It's not the kiyum is on Shabbos. The kiyum is on Erev Shabbos. How do I know this?
Wait a minute.
Okay, we'll fight this out, Ali. This is exciting. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to hold my own over here. Why do I insist that the kiyum is on Erev Shabbos? Because the Rambam says, it's a beautiful Rambam. The Rambam gets very poetic over here. By the way, is Shabbos a Melech or a Malka? The Bali Kabbalists say that Shabbos is a malka. But the Rambam is not a heavy Bali Kabbalah. Again, there's starting to debate back and forth if he knew Kabbalah or not. But in this case, he's a pure halachist. And he says that Shabbos is a melech. But let's listen to the Rambam's language. The Rambam says, Perek Lamed Halacha Aleph, Mitzvah Saseh Min HaTorah, and then he goes on to say, Umidivri Kabbalah, there's a mitzvah of covenant. Oh. I'm on the wrong page here. Okay. So he says the following. Yeah, there's a lot of Torah here because what does the Rambam mean is partially there in the Vim? I mean, Rav Soloveitchik has tons of material on this parashu halidei hanaviim. Ezu covenant. What is covenant? Well, kibud, if you want to call it. He says, zeshetzivu chachomim. It's very interesting because the whole enterprise of kibud is only bidirei kabbalah. It's not written in the Torah anywhere. It's written in Yeshaya Novi. Tzivu chachom ala adam lirchotz ponov yodav v'raglov bechamim. Be Erev Shabbos. Mipnei Kovra Shabbos. Now the Rambam waxes very poetic. Umisatif bitzitzis. Again, long discussions here about what misatif bitzitzis, what does it have to do with anything? The Yoshev bekovet rosh umiyachel lahakbolas pnei Shabbos kemoshu yotze lekras hamelech. In other words, I'm anticipating the arrival of the king of Shabbos itself. And the Rambam gives us a whole list of actions. The Rambam then goes on to say it's not only taking a hot shower, it's not only wrapping yourself up in a talis, it's not only sitting and being miyachel lekabolas pnei Shabbos, it's also sheyilbash kesos nekiya. He has to get dressed in clean clothing, v'lo yamal b'shachol kamal b'shabbos, all this. And then the Rambam goes on to say, "Misader Arum Shulchano b'Erev Shabbos." V'chein misader. Okay, fine. That's something else. That's not for us. V'tzorch l'sakin beiso mibod yom. Everything is to receive the Shabbos. V'pnei kvod haShabbos. And then he says, "Ner Doluk Shulchan Aruch." Again, we had a long discussion about the Rambam's use of the term "Ner Doluk." Again, that remains, as I admit, a weak link in the whole theory. The Rambam should have said, "Maisad look of why that's a problem." But he's saying you have to guarantee a ner dolik v'shulchan aruch u'mita mutzas v'chol elu l'chol Shabbos. I don't know. To me, I again, Rabbi, you can read it the way you like to read it. But I think he's saying that there's a kiyum of covered Shabbos. In fact, the Rambam he doesn't even whisper a word about eating the suda Shabbos. And he's got Ner Dolik on the list, so he's obviously integrating Ner Dolik into this whole enumerated list of how we mechabit the Shabbos, and we talk about Erev Shabbos.
So the way I understand it is that all these things are done prior to Shabbos to prepare for Shabbos and cross and Melech and stuff like that. Now, why do I need Ner Dolik there? The whole purpose of Ner Dolik. It's not for Erev Shabbos. It's nice and bright outside. It's so only because I can't do it on Shabbos.
But therefore, I do it before Rambam Perek Hey. The Rambam exactly. Perek Hey when he talks about exactly. Onik Shabbos, but exactly he's talking about Kovet Shabbos.
Exactly the point. I need the Nair on Shabbos for Onik, but I can't do it on Shabbos. Therefore, I do it prior to Shabbos. And it's too. I'm a Kayim as well. Kibbutz.
Oh, okay, good. That's all I have to hear. Of course, then we're on the same. Then we're on the same. We're
so
on the same team.
I can make a distinction then between the Maaseh HaMitzvah, which is kibud. I do it on Erev Shabbos, but the real kiyum is, I don't need it Friday afternoon. It's bright outside. I need it for Shabbos itself. That's the kiyum HaMitzvah.
So again, the difference between what I'm saying and what you're saying is that I'm saying there are two kiyum, and you're saying there's only one kiyum.
Right.
I see in the Rambam the fact that he classifies the Ner Dolik under two different mitzvahs, meaning that each Ner Dolik, so to speak, is a different kiyum on mitzvah. There's a mitzvah called Kovet and there's a mitzvah called Onik. And the Rambam goes on to say that there are four mitzvahs on Shabbos, four positive mitzvahs. Right. There's Zohar, there's Shavar, there's Kibud, and there's Onik. So it seems to me that the whole list that the Rambam prepares for us and presents to us in Perek Lamed everything on that list is a kiyum of Kavod Shabbos, and all that has to be fulfilled on Erev Shabbos.
I have another problem.
There's another kiyum, and for that you're 100% right. How could he light his candle on Shabbos in order to illuminate his Suda Shabbos? And for that, he's got to do the Maisa Mitzvah on Erev Shabbos. The kiyum of Mitzvah of Onig will be if and when he eats the Suda to the light of that candle that he lit. But as far as kibud is concerned, kibud remains an independent mitzvah. Now, what do we gain from this? Again, we could argue this back and forth until doomsday, and we'll never know who's right, because the Rambam's not here. And you know the joke about the Rambam, you know, they will ask the Rambam, okay, we won't go into that. But the answer is, Rabosai, that we gain something phenomenal here, because if you're willing to recognize, so to speak, or validate the adlokas aner of Erev Shabbos as kibud, you begin to understand the answer to two major questions. You know, it's like killing two birds at one stone. Number one, why does the halakha require putting out the light in order to rekindle it? Like give it a break. I mean, I got the light, you know, I got plenty of light here. Well, what's this exercise of futility? It's almost mechanical and ridiculous to put it out and then rekindle it. The answer is that the rekindling it is going to be a maisa kibud. And the second answer, the second question that we're going to answer now is why the Rambam insists that the inferior quality nero, so not posel as they are in Chanukah according to Rav Huna, because of Shema Yichpeh, that's not on the Rambam's mind. He doesn't whisper a word about Shema Yichpeh in these inferior, which we would have intuitively said, and the Rambam in fact says it. Instead, he gives a whole different spiel, Shema Yata. Why does he need Shema Yata for? And the answer is because it's not like Chanukah. In Chanukah, everything is in the balance. In Shabbos, what's in the balance is Onik Shabbos. Again, you have to add another element to the equation here. Why aren't we worried about Onik Shabbos? So here you have to introduce that other element that it's only a Chashash of Bialim. So if the whole enterprise is on the fence, you know, everything is either all or nothing, then we'll be worried about this Chashash of Shema Yichpeh. But if at least we could salvage the mitzvah of Kavod, then we're not going to worry about this chashash of Shema Yichpeh. Again, Rav Osei, there's no ein po kfiyah datit, as I always say. But it's a very interesting approach to answer up the prima gun. Okay. Now, at the end of this paragraph, and you see his intellectual honesty, he says that all this works out in the Rambam in Mishneh Torah. It's not going to cut the mustard in the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnah. So if you take a look about seven lines before the end of the paragraph, Avol Me'a, the first word in the line is Mechashash Shemayata. And there he says, well, Rambam in Pirush HaMishnah is Perik Beis Mishnah Aleph Kosav. And the Rambam again is trying to explain the Mishnah that disqualifies that whole list of oils. He says, Sheyeh Or Hanach, the light of these kinds of inferior oils, choshuch v'chalush. Again, it's all translation for the Arabic, you know. But it's dark. I guess we'd say it's dim, and it's dark. I'm sorry, and it's weak. I meant to say. Oh, take a look. V'chayshinon shema yaniach haner v'yetzeh. He's not going to be willing to eat his suda because it's basically he's in the dark. Again, technically, it might be still alive, but it's dark. Nu, what does that sound like to you, Rav Osei? That sounds like the Ravan. This is the same Ravan that we saw before, that we have to disqualify these oils because of we're going to forfeit the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos, of Shalom Bayis. That's what the rabbi seems to be saying. He's going to pack his bags and he's going to run out. Who wants to be in a dark room? So the whole point was to illuminate the room in order to what? In order to eat a beautiful suda to the light of this illumination. And the rabbi is saying that it's choshuch. It's already dark. So if it's dark, he's going to run away. And if he's going to run away, he haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Shalom Bayis. So the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnah is on board with the Ravan. And therefore, if we assume, again, you could always make machlokas between the Rambam and the Rambam. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they're 30 years apart. But the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnah, if you integrate it with the Rambam in Mishneh Torah, then the Rambam should have been aware of the fact in Mishneh Torah to answer the question why exclude the Shmonim on Shabbos is because of Shema. What's the language here of the Rambam?
It doesn't say Shema Yichbeh B'chlal. It says it's a weak type of flame.
Right, but the Rambam adds the words.
And it's not sufficient enough to eat by.
Correct.
But we're not worried whatsoever about Shema Yichbeh. That's not a problem whatsoever.
But aren't we worried about Onik Shabbos?
Yes, I am. That's why.
So what do you need Shema Yata for? Why is the Rambam need Shema Yata if you're worried about Onik Shabbos or Bosa?
Because
we're talking about Ner Shabbos. The purpose of Ner Shabbos is Onik Shabbos.
Because
why do you have to go upside down and inside out, stand in your head, and introduce Shema Yata? You want to know why these Neros are puzzled? The answer is because you won't achieve Onik Shabbos. You're going to run away from these Neros. That's what the Rambam says in Pirush HaMishnayos. Why couldn't he say the same thing? We're going to rewrite the Rambam in Perek Hei Milchus Shabbos. The Rambam says Perek Hei Milchus Shabbos. Umepnei Ma. Where is it? Perek Hei Alochaches. Let's read it again. Now, I'm just dramatizing it. He says Perek Hei Alochaches. Etc. etc. And the Rambam says Gzeira Shemiyata.
Right.
Why does he need Gzeira Shemiyata? Why did he just say what he says in the Pirush HaMishnayos? Namely, that he won't fulfill the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. The whole purpose of this takoda is for Onik Shabbos. That's how the Rambam starts the parak. And then when he tells you why we disqualify these psulim, instead of saying because there's no Onik Shabbos,
because this is an issur d'oraisa that he's going to do.
Correct. That could, again, as I said at the outset, eventually at Shlav Bet we could say that the Rambam wants to tell you a chiddush that not only have you forfeited the mitzvah, but moreover you violated an issur. That's a possibility. It's very difficult to say such a thing because again the Rambam is asking the basic question as to why the Chachamim said don't light with these candles. The Rambam should have told me because, as he says in the Pirush HaMishnayos, don't light with these candles because he's going to run away from the dark room.
That's a simplistic answer when the answer could be Shema Yata. Yeah, Shema Yata is a much more serious prohibition.
But again, Rabbi, the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos doesn't say Shema Yata. The Rambam says that the reason why they apostle these is because he's going to run away from his table. The Rambam doesn't whisper a word about Shema Yata. Because all the Rambam is interested in accomplishing is to explain why we're not going to use these Neros, these Shmonim, for Ner Shabbos. The answer is partially because Ner Shabbos is a mitzvah voting Shabbos. Says the Rambam, he's going to run away from his table.
Right.
So why did the Rambam say that in Mishnah Torah? It's good enough for the Rambam in his youth. Why could it be good enough for the Rambam in his older age? That's the question that he's asking. Okay. Now, Rabbosu, we're ready for the Ramban. The Ramban is very, very challenging. Yeah. So let's read the Ramban's language. It's the paragraph that starts with Hine. Ben, you don't have this?
I have. Hand.
Joel doesn't need it because he has it, but you mentioned
it. Like in his mind.
I see. Okay, fine. Yeah. Remind me to tell you a story about the Chozer Leblin, my favorite story, man. You can read his mind. Okay. So here's the Ramban. Now, in order to appreciate the Ramban, let's go back to Tosus's Kash. We read the Gemara of Rav Huna Mikuta, you know, we only read part of it. Keta Chad, but not the second Keta. Rav Huna adds the following. Bein b'Shabbos, bein b'chol. That these Shmonim are possible for Ner Chanukah, according to Rav Huna, not only for the weekday of Chanukah, but also for Shabbos of Chanukah. So Rava comes along and he says, look, as far as the psul of the Shmonim during the week of Chanukah, the chol of Chanukah, that's because Chavsa Zokakla. As far as Shabbos is concerned, we have a problem here of mutar l'shtamish li'ol. Meaning that Rav Huna is of the opinion that you're allowed to enjoy the benefit of this Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah is not awesome b'shitvish. Fact Tosfos, I don't get it. Who says anything about mutar l'shtamish li'ol? The reason why it's possible on Shabbos is for the very same reason it's possible during the week. And that is because Chavsa Zokakla. And in order to answer this, Tosfos has to do somersaults in the air. He has to say, well, why did Rav Huna say Bein B'Shabbos? It must have been that he was adding some Chiddush in Shabbos, which is a reflection on Ner Chanukah, namely Mutar L'shtamish Liyavo. So in other words, it's like with Darshin and Yitura Dekra over here, that since Rav Huna added an unnecessary phrase, we must Darshin, so to speak, Rav Huna, that he meant to tell us a Chiddush that Ner Chanukah is Mutar L'shtamish Liyavo. Comes along the Ramban with his own answer, an original answer to the Kash of Tosfos. And he sets up an equation, we'll read it inside in just a second. His equation is, with Chanukah on Shabbos and Kovsah Ein Zokaklo. Meaning, that even if I hold in general during the week of Chanukah Kovsah Zokaklo, that's Rav Huna's premise, when it comes to Shabbos, even Rav Huna would agree that Kovsah Ein Zokaklo. Why? Because on Shabbos we can't fix the name. If we can't fix the Nair, then we go back to our premise of Ein Zocher Klah. It has to be Ein Zocher Klah. You can debate in Chanukah whether it's Zocher Klah or Ein Zocher Klah, but says the Ramban, with regard to Shabbos, it must be Ein Zocher Klah because the Torah, the Halacha, doesn't allow me the option of Zocher Klah, rekindling the knot in the way. So let's read the Ramban inside. Vihine, this is about line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Line 5 in the paragraph, Vihine. Vihine Aramban tirates Vizelashon. The Svirle le Talmuda, Kevon de Bishabis e Efshar lihi Zokekla, because these are Shabbos, Lo Chayshinan, Umadliki Bechol Ashmonin, Mi Kevon she Efshar shalo Yichbu. I don't know what he means by Efshar. You know, we said that in all likelihood that wasn't going to happen. The Afal Pisha Lefamim Kovin, you know, we have to admit that there is a certain sizable percentage of possibility that it will go out because it's an inferior quality. Lo Ich Paslan. And then he says, this is the punchline of the Ramban. V'Shabbos L'mandiyomar Kovsa Zokikla Dino Shove L'chol L'mandiyomar Kovsa Ein Zokikla. Meaning that even Rav Huna, who during the week would insist that Kovsa Zocher Klah, he would accept the principle of Ein Zocher Klah with regard to Shabbos. Kishev shebechol mutar lahadlik b'shmonim alolu v'im kavu Ein Zocher Klah af b'shabbos kein l'divrei akol. Now it's just like in Akwinti Maniyomu who holds Kovsa Ein Zocher Klah. You are machshir, you're allowed to use these inferior oils because of Kovsa Ein Zocher Klah. So memela, those oils will be kosher on Shabbos even though I hold Kovsa Zocher Klah because al kochenu I have to hold Kovsa Ein Zocher Klah. There's no possibility on Shabbos of being Zocher. And in the next paragraph, in the bulk of this paragraph, he summarizes the Ramban. Oh, hello. Now take a look on page Hey, and we're now down to. I'm just trying to, you know, simply sort of cut it down in terms of size over here. We're on line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Line 5. Do you see in the middle of line 5? It says Ella. So you want to underline these things. He says Ella Ikar Divrei Ramban Srichen Bir. I don't understand the Ramban. Why? To love you, hey Choluk, Ikar Chovas Ner Chanukah B'Shabbos Mibechol. How could you now make this fundamental distinction between the obligation of Ner Chanukah on Shabbos as opposed to Chol? In Bechol Lo Yotza. I guess we're holding now the Kovsa Zokaklo. So these inferior oils are. A lo yotza, he doesn't fulfill his mitzvah. Im kofsa gam b'shabbos, havelin lameimar de lo yotza. Right? You're telling me that Ner Chanukah requires Zocher Klah. That's the nature of Ner Chanukah. And for that very reason, we're going to passel these neros, these shemonim. If that be the case, then certainly they should be passel on Shabbos. How could be yotze with shemonim that apostle? Meaning, if you're telling me that Kovsa is Zocher Klah, then how much more so on Shabbos when there's no possibility of Zocher Klah? For sure these Shmonim should be possible. We passel the Shmonim based on the fact that Kovsa is Zocher Klah. We're afraid he won't replace the Nair, etc. He won't fix the Nair, whatever it might be. So then for sure, those same Shmonim should be possible on Shabbos. What do you tell me? Oh, but there's no Zocher Klah. Adarabah, because there's no Zocher Klah, that's why they should be possible. How can you make this fundamental distinction and say that these very same oils are kosher during the balance of Chanukah, but they become possible on Shabbos? Why? Because now you're going to pull a rabbit out of your head. You say, Kovsa Ein Zocher Klah. What do you mean, Kovsa Ein Zocher Klah? These Shmonim are possible. And why are they puzzled? Because we're assuming that they won't last, or if they will go out, he won't, or on the way out, he won't fix it, blah, blah, blah. So why not apply the same logic to Shabbos? And Nachtitzi, you could add a Kal V'chomer and make his question even worse, because on Shabbos, he doesn't even have the option of Zokah Klo. So for sure, the Shmonim have to be puzzled. What did the Ramban mean to gain over here by setting up this equation between Kavsa Ein Zokah Klo and Shabbos of Chanukah? On the other hand, on the contrary, the reason why we puzzle the Shmonim is because Zokah Klo. No, in the case of Shabbos, you don't have the option of Zokah Klo. So for sure, the Shmonim should be puzzled. What is the Ramban hacking over here? What's he talking about? So I'm going to try to suggest an answer here. And maybe this is what he says. I don't think so, but let's see if we can get something out of this. If we can extract, you know, if we can what's the word? Extricate ourselves from this mess. I wanted to suggest the following based on Rashi. Percentage wise, as we said at the outset, these shmonim, if you're going to predict statistically what are the chances that they'll go out, that itself is only a chashash of the alma. That's not enough to justify that we should exclude these shmonim. But on the other hand, if I hold kavs of Zokah Klo, there's an impetus, there's a push to do whatever we can to guarantee that the nair will last the full half hour. And since there's a little bit of a doubt, it's a bit precarious because of the nature of these oils and wicks, we're going to have to do something. What are we going to do? Says Rashi, we're going to require a second obligation. One responsibility is to do the etzem aysad look, but that's not going to be sufficient. In order to bridge the gap to achieve the ultimate goal that this nair should be dolk from the time of his adlokah until Hashetich L'Regel B'Rashuk, we're going to set up another chiyuv, another responsibility. And that is that he should be supervising the nair. And the very moment he sees that, I got trouble over here, this doesn't, you know, this Shevet is not behaving properly, at that moment we're going to slap him with a chiyuv. And we're going to impose upon him a responsibility to stand over the nair and do whatever he can to be mataking the nair. So if Kofsa Zokka, we have so much vested interest here that we're so eager to guarantee that he'll fulfill not just the first responsibility of Hanluk, but also the second responsibility of Litakin, we're going to say, we're not going down that road. You know what? Close the faucets, close the avenues, don't even use those shmonim that lend themselves to the requirement of the second responsibility, leave them out. We don't want to use them. Not to say that the hadlaka per se was possible. There's nothing wrong with the hadlaka, because the chashash that it'll be yichaveh, as we say it, right, yichaveh, that chashash is not enough to undermine the hadlaka. This hadlaka is roi lidolek, a full half hour. As far as hadlaka is concerned, it's okay. But if we have to put an extra push to guarantee that this hadlaka will in fact last the full half hour, and the worst scenario will not happen, will not materialize, namely that if this belongs to those that'll go out, then we're going to have to impose a responsibility which we don't believe that he's going to live up to. And if we don't believe he's going to live up to, because Dilma Pasha, then the best option now is to passel all the nails. Oh. Now I want to ask you the following question. Supposing I would find you a mitzvah in which the man is anus, circumstances beyond his control prevent him from fulfilling that second responsibility. So yesh lachar, there are two ways of going. One way is to say, well, lo plug. You know, we said that these shmonim are out, and therefore they're out. The other way is to say, no. The status of these shmonim is mitle toli v'avir. It's suspended in midair. Assuming that we can slap him down with another chiyuv, we're going to say we don't believe he's going to live up to that chiyuv. But in a case where he's anus, and there's no possibility of his fulfilling that second chiyuv, In other words, it's futile to ask him to be that mother bird and supervise the Neros and be metaken them. Then in such a case, I can go back to square one and I say, well, there is hadlaka sheruya lidolek chatzi shah. Because the chashash that will go out in the case of the inferior olos is still a chashash. And it's not a definite reality. That's what the Ramban means about Shabbos. Says the Ramban, we never pasul bishmoni. The Gevurah Yitzchak is wrong, kaviyochel. His hanocha in attacking the Ramban Tzorach Iyun is that we pasul lishmonim. No, we didn't pasul lishmonim. What we said about lishmonim is that we're in an impossible situation if our goal is to guarantee that it'll be a ner dolek for the half hour, because he won't live up to that second responsibility and hang around for another half hour if he sees that it's... Oh, if that's what you're saying, that the shmonim inherently could be kosher, but the reason why we're disqualifying them is because he won't live up to that second responsibility, then lo yitzuyer, if I have a metzius in which he's onus on the second responsibility, then we could go back to our original position that this adlock is a perfectly good adlock. It's going to last a half hour. And don't be choshesh for it. If we wanted to add that extra element of certainty, then we want a shemen where it's realistic to impose upon him this extra chiyuv of hovering over the candle. But if lo yitzur, we don't have the possibility of adding that responsibility, then instead of saying, well, the candle is possible, we're going to go back to Nadloka, and we're going to upgrade Nadloka to the status of royally dolek chatzi shah. We're not worried about the chashash shema yichbeh. And he can be yotzi the mitzvah. Says the Ramban, unbelievable. We're going to differentiate between these oils on the balance of Chanukah, every day of Chanukah, and these oils and their status on Shabbos of Chanukah. And the only reason, therefore, why Rav Huna could passel these oils on Shabbos when it's impossible to impose upon him this responsibility, the second chiyuv of hovering over the candle, is because of mutar l'shtamish li'ora and shemiyat. Is memeil rabosa, if that be the case, then maybe this could shed a light on the Rambam and Rashi that we started with, right? The Prima Gunnim was yelling and screaming, why do you tell me that these oils are possible for Ner Shabbos because of what? Because of Shemiyata. Why don't you say they're possible because they're possible? They won't last. The answer is they will last. Ah, so why are they possible on Chanukah? That's because, according to Rav Huna, because Rav Huna says that on Chanukah I can impose upon him a second obligation. But with regard to Shabbos, where I cannot impose upon a second obligation, is Chazra Hajra Leduchte. We go back to our original position. And that is that the Nair itself, it lends itself to Avloka. So let's just see. Now I'm being self-critical. I'm beginning to question myself. Does it work out or not? Let me think about it. Just 1 second. I think it could work out. What do you say? I got my critics here, you know. I like it that you're critics, because otherwise, I could, if you weren't critics, then I could sell you the Brooklyn Bridge, you know, just fumper away here and be Machadish Chidush. The Gevurah Yitzchak comes up with a whole different theory in which, I don't know, it rubs me the wrong way. Let me tell you what I think he's saying over here. And this you'll see in the paragraph that starts Vahanira. You see that on the right on the bottom. And going up to the top of the left, he says the following. He says, the Ikar Mitzvahs Ner Chanukah, 2 lines up before the bottom of the right column, Bahadloka Rishona Afilu Yichbe. Now watch what goes on over here. He's pulling a rabbit out of the hat. He's saying that there are two Adlokas over here. This what he calls Adloka Rishona, Adloka Shnia. And that's how he interprets Kovsa Zokikla. Kovsa Zokikla means a second hadlaka. Again, in the Beis HaLevi's frame of reference, we're going to have to add a proviso, and we're going to have to say it's the same ner, you know, because nevda ner is... But let's say it's a, whatever, you know, I don't have to... He says, Rak Shechal of Chiv Chadash, going on to the left column, Lahadlik ner Chanukah Odapa. A kovsa zokikla means a new adlokah. That's how he's touching up the word zokikla. Zokikla means you're chayv and another adlokah. Just 1 second, Ben. Is therefore shapir kosav Rashi the cholach shashu rak shemiyifsha on the second adlokah? Do you follow? He's learning like this, a little bit different than the way I said it. He's saying that Kofsa Zokakla means you have two hadlokas. And if the first hadlokah fails, then you chayv in the second hadlokah. And here's where Rashi gives his whole spiel that we're very worried about the second hadlokah. So he says that only applies during the week, but it doesn't apply on Shabbos. Because on Shabbos we cannot impose upon you a second hadlokah. It's similar, but I don't know. Let me just think about maybe there's a difference between my shot and his shot. Just 1 second. According to his shot, that what you have in a second adlocker. I don't know. I'll tell you what gets me nervous about his shot. I mean, besides which, I find this a little too revolutionary that there's a second adlocker here. I don't know. That doesn't sit well with me. But let's assume we accept that. It still bothers me a little bit because we're only obligating the second hadlokah because of the failure in the first hadlokah. So why would we accept shmonim and psilos that are going to bring me into a second hadlokah? And the way I wanted to say it is the following, that there's another chiyuv here that the chachamim were mechadish and chanukah where they could be mechadish. And again, I'm not going with your approach, you feel that, you know, with more this and more that and so on, you know, that he's more interested in that. I'm leaving that psychology out. But what I'm suggesting is that it's only because of the feasibility of the second chiyuv to go beyond the first hadlokah and require that you stand over the first hadlokah. If that chiyuv is feasible, then we're going to pass those neiros because we're afraid he won't be omeid bedavar. But if it's impossible to impose the second chiyuv, then we go back to premise number one, that the whole chashash in these whatchamacallit, the whole fear of Shevi Yichbe is only a chashash, and that's all it is. See, from his perspective, I don't understand why. Let me just see if he asks this. Maybe he asks this question himself. Let's just see. Just 1 second.
His whole premise is on the Ravan and the Prima Godel, which is problematic to begin with.
Okay, just give me one more minute, Rabbi. I just wanted to. I'm curious to know what he says in the balance of this essay. Does he ask this question? Let me see. What page are we up to? Vav, right? I need to get myself one of those binders, you know, that hold on to these pages. Calls mine. Oh yeah, take a look at the paragraph V'al Kol Panim. Yeah?
Hey.
On page Hey, the last paragraph on page Hey. Right, so he's saying now that according to Rashi the Ramban, right, we're worried about the second hadlaka. Bim Ken Kolzman, Kolzer Rak Vadloka Asner Chanukah. Avadloka Asner Shabbos. Ah. I think what he's saying is the following. Now, this is what perplexes his mind. But I want to see if it I think in our pshat it's not a problem. He's saying like this, that it's very nice in Chanukah to suggest that he's got to supplant or replace the first hadlokah with a second hadlokah, and then, you know, you could debate back and forth whether we could rely on his doing a second hadlokah, not rely on, or you might say that the first hadlokah is good enough, that's fine. But he says that in Shabbos, where we need Onig Shabbos, see, on line 5, I will hadlokas neiros Shabbos, mishum Onig Shabbos, mitzvah alo b'mais hadlokah. In Ner Chanukah, we have the freedom to pass, to define the mitzvah as the mais hadlokah, as long as that hadlokah could last for a half hour. Right? So he lights it in a place where and with the oils where we could, where, that we can assume would last if all things are equal for the full half hour. So he has the Maisad look, but he says that's not going to help us with Ner Shabbos, because since Ner Shabbos requires a Ner Doluk, Shem Yichber Lo Yikayim Mitzvah Sadlokas Ner Shabbos. Right, if the candle goes out with these inferior wicks, what are you left with? You're left with a dark room. In case Shuv Tikshi, he comes full swing back to his original question. Lama Kosvu, this is the Prima Gorim's question. Lama Kosvu Rashi Varamam Tam De Madlikin Vahanach Shmonim Psils Bishavis Michashash Shemayata Shemayishkach Vyetze Velo Michashash Shemayichbe Velo Yotza HaMitzvah. In other words, he's influenced now by the Rambam in the Pirushim Shnai. So the Rambam in Pirushim Shnai puts all the emphasis here in possibly these inferior qualities on the fact that he's gonna leave the house. He doesn't want to sit in the dark. So if that be the case, why do we need Shemayata? But I think we answered that question because again, we're not afraid that the candles will go out. The candles are okay. We're just afraid that he might not guarantee and fulfill a second obligation, but that second obligation of standing over the Neros to guarantee that they remain there is not an obligation that we can impose on Shabbos. Only on Chanukah we have the freedom or the, you know, we have the luxury of imposing upon him a second obligation, and then you have to, you know, vacillate back and forth. Is he going to live up to that obligation, or as Rashi says, Dilma Pasha, and he won't be Misaki in the Nair? But that whole venture is not Shaykh to Shabbos, and therefore in Shabbos we can accept the Shmonim based on the fact that we don't assume they're going to go out. But he leaves out that equation. So on page Vav, Hanira Lomar, what does he finally say? Ah, he's going to say that it's a separate din in Chanukah. That in Chanukah we're going to up the standards. If you take a look about halfway through the paragraph on Nira, you'll see a line about halfway through that starts Sheyich Belagamre Verak the Svir Le Larashi the Gam Kisha Odo Dolek Adayin Rak Shekvar Hu Choshuch VeHolech VeChava Shuv Ein Mekayim Bo Amitzvah. The Oz Einshum Hidur Veheker B'mitzvah. Well, you introduce a whole other element into the equation here, that once the Nair starts diminishing, if there's such a word, anybody have a better word for me? When it starts weakening, at that point he says he forfeits the Hidur Mitzvah. I guess he's assuming that Hidur Mitzvah in Chanukah is so critical that we have to exclude these Nairos. But since on Shabbos we don't have this element of Hidur Mitzvah, therefore we can get away with these. Take a look, for example, on the left column, about four lines down, he says, "V'nir mitvarav tibad lokas ner Shabbos kol shadayin doleg afal gav shaholech v'kov shapir yotzi yidei mitzvah." But in Chanukah, because of this concept of Hidur Mitzvah, if it's holech v'kova, maybe it means there's no pirsum anes. I'm not sure. The bottom line is he's saying that kovsa zokikla and the psul of these shmonim is a separate din in Chanukah, because Chanukah has an element of Hidur Mitzvah, and therefore we need a very clear and profound flame. But in the case of Shabbos, we don't have to go that far, and we're not so worried about Hidur Mitzvah, and therefore it's okay. That's his final conclusion. Okay, so Rabbo said, look, I leave you with the, you know, the two choices here. You know, if you have a third choice, that's also good. But right now I have two approaches to answer the Prima Gonim's question, and what's the difference, and to explain the Ramban, what's the difference between Chol and Shabbos? Either the way, I think Rashi's telling us here that in Chanukah we're able to impose upon him a second chiyuv of watching the Nair, and if the Nair starts flickering to rectify the situation, and that's not Shaykh on Shabbos, or to say that Shabbos and Chanukah are two different halachas, because Chanukah has an element of heder in it, and therefore if it's already beginning to go out, we forfeit that element of heder. I didn't see anything in Rav Huna or Rava's explanation of Huna that indicated that this was a separate aloch in Chanukah because of heder mitzvah. I don't know. In fact, the whole sugya of heder mitzvah hasn't even come up yet. But okay, you know.
It has nothing to do with the quality of the light. It's only the number of heder. There's no one talking about heder in terms of the quality of the light.
That's a good question. Let me think about that for a second. Just 1 second. Well, no, that's not so, Joel. Here. The Gemara says the following. Let's see if I can just find this. Where's the Gemara about Shem and Zayis? Just 1 second. Time for Chazor. 3 blot, and it's time for Chazor. I only spent a month on those 3 blot, right? Or 6 weeks. Okay, where's the Gemara about Shem and Zayis? Come on, fellas, help me out here.
Controller.
Where is it?
No, I'm just, sorry.
Okay. Just 1 second.
I got it.
Oh, here it is. I think I found it. Yeah, I found it. So this is on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, about midway through the Amud. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kol Hashmonim Kulam Yofim Lener, meaning for Ner Chanukah, but Shemen Zayis Min Amuvchar. So I both say, what would be your knee-jerk response? Why Shemen Zayis Min Amuvchar?
That's light. It's Nimsha.
Ah, okay, so you're smarter than me. I thought it was because the Ness happened in the Beis Hamikdash in Shemen Zayis. That's what I always thought all my life, honestly. That's what I always thought. But take a look at the next line of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Me Reish Havi Mahadir Mar Am Mishcha De Shumshimei. And the reason why he liked Shumshimin, oil made of sesame seeds, is because it's a beautiful R, and it's very clear. But Keva de Shavale Lahai de Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Mahadar Amishcha de Zesa, he dropped his minog of sesame oil and he picked up the minog of Rav Yeshua ben Levi of olive oil. Why? Omar, the reason why he preferred Shemen Zayis is Hai Tzlil Nahorit Fei. He translates it here based on Rashi. He says, Oro Tzalul Umeir Yoser. He says that the quality of the light is superior. So we see that in Ner Chanukah, if you have choices of different oils, then the best oil to be Mekayim the mitzvah in a Mufchar, the best mitzvah would be Solul Umeir. So you see that we don't find a similar halach in Shabbos that it has to be Solul Umeir, as far as I remember. That's already a reflection in the quality of the Ner. Notice the heat of it is not in the second Ner, it's in the first Ner.
That's why you can't use the inferior types of oil.
That's what he's saying.
By Shabbos. You can use a better type of oil.
So then you're back to square one. So then you're asking the question, why do you have to introduce Shemiyata if you're telling me that it's Shema Yechaveh, as the Rambam says in Pirush HaMishnayis, why doesn't the Rambam say that in Mishnah Torah? Open up the Pirush HaMishnayis.
He says because it's weaker. And because it's weaker, not because it's going to go out, but if it's weaker, then there's more of a chance of Shema Yata.
No, he said, the Rambam says explicitly that he's going to run out of his table.
Because of...
not because of Shema Yata.
Not because it's going to go out, because it's not strong enough to eat by...
Right. So if it's not strong enough to eat by, then the Rambam doesn't have to introduce Shema Yata. He could go with what he himself wrote 30 years earlier. I don't know the history of it. You'll Google this. But I think that the Pirush HaMishnayis was written 30 years earlier. That it's because he's going to run away from his table and he won't be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Onik Shabbos.
Just 2 things, observations. Is it possible that the L'chatchila B'diavad situation, L'chatchila obviously is the best Shemayim possible, B'diavad you can. And I'm thinking that when you light the first candle in the world of Chanukah, should I have in mind, I'm going to light, and in case I need to light again, that bracha is going to cover my second one, so I don't have a bracha levatala. There's a good chance, Ruach Matsuya, something's going to happen, it's going to go out, I'm going to make one bracha, it's going to count for both.
I would say even more than that, Ben. You don't even have to have that in mind. Even if you don't have that in mind, the bracha is going to be chal from the time that you start the mitzvah until you finish the mitzvah. Whatever is necessary. If it goes out and you want to rekindle it, again, this all comes back to the question of whether or not you can fulfill the mitzvah with a second hadlaka, but let's assume you still have the first hadlaka, then the bracha is chal on that. Let's go even a step further. If it's, for example, I'll dramatize the eighth night of Chanukah, so you're lighting eight candles. I don't care what's in your brain. The bracha is chal on all eight candles. And therefore, the Elio Rabba paskins that if you left out the bracha, as long as you haven't lit the last of the eight candles, you can still make the bracha. So that goes even further, that even the heater mitzvah candles are upgraded to the level of hadlokas ner Chanukah, to such an extent that the bracha can be chal even on the heater candles. Some of the poskim write, though, that's as long as you're still, that's only if you're still involved in lighting the candles. Once you lit the eighth candle, if let's say the first candle goes out, then you don't make a bracha. Right? Let's say you forgot to make a bracha, and you lit all eight candles. Too late. That's for following. Tomorrow you'll make a bracha. But tonight, you won't make a bracha. If it's the eighth night, you won't get it tomorrow. In fact, if you take a look here in this in the pages that I gave you, so he has a discussion here on, let's see if where, what page it's on. Yeah, on page Yud, if you happen to have page Yud. I'm not losing page Zion here, but page Yud. He has a Tshuva of Rabbi Kiveger in the paragraph, the last paragraph on page Yud, Vehine. Misha Hidlik Ner Chanukah B'Leil Shmini. V'shachach levarach al hadlakasa. V'rakodim shedlikas kulon, meaning he still has one candle to light, nizkar, he reminds himself, tadayin lo birech. So Rav Kivega vacillates back and forth, v'yesho levarach olo. So we suggested, and that's the final conclusion, but Rav Kivega goes a long way till he gets to that conclusion, that he can make the bracha. He says, u'pasach, the Rav Kivega's final conclusion, is yesh lismoch levarach kidas halio rabo. Shemavarchem al hider mitzvah. Oh, the pre chadash who came way before the Elio Rabbah, he disagrees, and he's of the opinion the aim of varchem al hider mitzvah. You already yotzi your mitzvah with the first candle. There is your basma. There's no way that you could make a brach on hider mitzvah. Yesh lomar the af benizkar acher gmar adloka mevarech came on the tzorach shir ladloka mishutishka hachama at shetichla regulation. Let me try to explain to you what I think Rabbi Kivega wants to be mechadish. Rabbi Kivega wants to be mechadish the following. There's something called, let's see what the language could be. The terminology is very important. Oh, adayin asiyosa kayemis. For example, I didn't make a bracha on my tefillin when I put them on. As long as I'm wearing them, that's called in the Lashon HaRambam, in Hilchos Brachos, Adayin Asiyosa Kayemes, and I can make the bracha. Same thing in Talis. And now, Rabbi Kivega wants to apply that principle of Adayin Asiyosa Kayemes to Ner Chanukah. Why? Because we're within that half hour. Meaning, it works like this. According to the Pri Chadash, let's say he lit the first of the eight candles at 7 p.m., correct? And at 7:30, he reminds himself, oh, I forgot the bracha. And now he wants to light a candle lehidur. Again, that itself is a complicated sugi. But let's say he's allowed to be mahadir. Pri Chodesh says there's no bracha over here. Why? Because he can't say adayin asiyosa kayemis. The adayin asiyosa kayemis only applies for a half hour. Why? Because after that half hour, the mitzvah is gone. He already fulfilled the mitzvah. And there's no room for a bracha. So this is the Chiddush of Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega says that if you're lighting eight candles on the eighth night, it's safe to assume, it's fair to assume that if you remind yourself before you finish that, look, you're still within the original half hour, and even the Pre-Chodesh would allow you to make that bracha. Not because the Pre-Chodesh holds that you make a bracha on a Hidur mitzvah, but for a different reason, something called Adayin Asiyasa Kayemis. This Rabbi Kivega is a Pella. I don't begin to understand Rabbi Kivega, honestly. Adayin Asiyosa Kayemis means that we view the original Asiyah as if it's still going. And that I can say as long as I'm being mekayim the mitzvah. But in the case of Ner Chanukah, I don't know if you can say Adayin Asiyosa Kayemetz. Adayin Asiyosa Kayemetz means that the original Anochas Tefillin is still in place. Rabbi Kivega wants to say that according to Pri Chadosh, I can make the bracha because I'm going to do a Maisad Lokah, but that Maisad Lokah is on a Heft of Heder Mitzvah. That's not a Dayan Asiyosa Kayem. So for example, would Rabbi Kivega say that, for example, on the first night of Chanukah, I lit the Ner, and I didn't make a bracha, so I can make that bracha for the full half hour? I don't know. That's already going very far. In the case of Rabbi Kivega with the Pri Chodesh, he's lighting another Ner. So then you could say that it's Adayin Asiyosa Kayemes, but the only problem is that the Pri Chodesh holds that the Ner of Heder Mitzvah is not considered a Maisad Lokah for the Mitzvah, therefore you can't make a Bracha. I don't know, this Rabbi Kivega has to be taken under advisement.
Well, I don't get a different version of it. Our Talmud doesn't say Asiyosa Kayemes, it's Adayin Asiyosa Kayemes.
Right, no. The Asiyah Kayemis is in the Rambam, which Rabbi Kivega based himself on. That's on page Yidal. Take a look. Rabbi Kivega quotes this Rambam here, who says Adayin Asiyosa Kayemis. But I just wanted to say, as we part from Mincha, where we're up to here, I think we more or less finished Siman Beis. Again, we could always go back to it again and again. But what I'd like to do tomorrow, believe it or not, is Siman Gimel, which is also very, very interesting. And maybe if we get lucky, we can do Siman Dalet. It's a very, very long Siman.
Who's the Rosh Yitzchak?
His name is Rabbi Yitzchak Sarotskin. And he's a Roshiva today in Lakewood. Not in the big yeshiva in Lakewood. He has his own yeshiva in Lakewood. He comes from the Telzer dynasty. But he himself learned to brisk. He's a real brisk. Harvey, someone's waiting for you.
Yeah.
Darren, thank you so much.